This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's been called a declaration of war. That is the move of the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. Now scheduled for May 14th, 2018, just a couple of months away. A declaration of war. Senior member of the Association of Muslim Scholars calls for Muslim uprisings all over the world due to the U.S. Embassy move to Jerusalem. Secretary General of the Association of Muslim Scholars is calling for an uprising of peoples and governments against the American administration's announcement of its intention to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem as of May 14th in celebration of the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of Israel. He stressed that the issue of the city of Al-Quds, which is the Arabic name for Jerusalem, is an issue of concern to the entire Muslim nation, and renouncing it or harming it is a matter of the mark of Cain that Allah, history, and future generations will not be able to atone for. Moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, he said, is a declaration of war against the Muslims and a step that will establish the illegal occupation. Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today is no exception. No exception whatsoever. As we take a look at the promised move of the American embassy to Jerusalem, with the promise behind it that numerous other nations are considering doing the same thing, we are looking at a reaction, perhaps not just a knee-jerk reaction, but a systemic reaction within the broader Islamic world, that this is ushering in a provocation that they cannot and will not tolerate. But here's my question as we launch into the program today. Is the move of the embassy merely presaging the rebuilding of the temple? Is the movement of the embassy really presaging or laying the groundwork for the rebuilding of the temple? What can we expect? What should we expect? Is this something that the Bible has told us that is likely to take place? Certainly, we don't see anything in the Bible about the movement of embassies to Jerusalem. No, but we do know, as we look at the Bible, that all the people groups of the world, the prophets said, are going to come to Jerusalem, and they're going to say, come on, let's all go to Jerusalem, and let's celebrate the goodness of God in the land of the living, that all the nations will come and worship. Well, how would that happen? You see, sometimes we look for the wrong things in trying to find biblical identification for what is taking place or going to take place in history. The issue is not the embassy. The issue is who is in Jerusalem. The issue is what is to happen in Jerusalem. And if all the nations of the earth are to have their representatives there, in fact, the scripture tells us in the book of Zechariah that those nations that will not come to Israel to worship the Lord on the Feast of Tabernacles will have no rain. So there's something about Jerusalem, something about Mount Zion, something about the Temple Mount that is going to have a profound allure or gathering for the nations. But until that happens, there's going to be, well, war or declarations of war, and that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. There would be wars and rumors of wars, but he said, those are just the beginning of sorrows. So today we take a look at this reaction that's happening around the world, and then we take a further look at the temple, at the rebuilding of a third temple. And so I hope you'll stay tuned. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, as always, talk that transforms. We know, for those of you who have been listening to this program long, you know that the entire world is involved in the upheaval surrounding a battle. It's a battle that's been going on for all of human history, but it's accelerating. It's coming to its, to use a musical term, a crescendo. It's crescendoing into a very, very loud expression in our world. It's the battle for King of the Mountain, the eternal, epic, and end-time battle, for, it is said, he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. Now, whether you believe that or not isn't the issue. The issue is that others do. And because others do, it controls their behavior. It controls their decisions. It controls their attitudes. For as the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a leader thinks in his heart, so he does. As nations think in their hearts, so they do, and act and operate and confederate. And so we're going to take a look at this matter of the end time temple. In my book, King of the Mountain, chapter 12 is called the end time temple. The question is this the time? Is it time for a new temple? Well, that was the headline of Time magazine in its October 16th, 1989 edition. And indeed, if this is the time, what time is it? What time is it? Well, the French have a phrase that every purported student of the language, that is French, has to process and be prepared to present to the professor. And that phrase should now be engraved upon the membranes of every one of our minds and hearts for future reference. And here it is. It's the memorable phrase, quelle heure est-il? You might say that, quelle heure est-il? Quelle heure est-il? What does it mean? It simply means, what time is it? What time is it? But it's a way to get across the message for many of us who are not French. Because the real issue is we need to evaluate in our own minds and hearts, what time is it? What time is it from God's perspective in human history? In terms of the merging of history and prophecy, what time is it? Are we nearing the culmination of the biblical story as foretold by Hebrew prophets from Moses through Jesus, Yeshua? And if so, what are the implications for our world, and more specifically, the Temple Mount? Will there be a third temple? And if so, is this the time? That's our focus here on Viewpoint, even as we revert back now into the next segment talking about the move of the embassy to Jerusalem. Stay tuned, friends. This is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. There are no neutral viewpoints.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. President Donald Trump has announced that he will indeed, moving much more quickly than anyone believed, reestablish the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. And he will do it in conjunction with the huge celebration of the rebirth of Israel, 70 years celebration of the rebirth of Israel, that came into a nation May 14th, 1948. So on May 14th, 2018, 70 years later, the great celebration, 70th anniversary of the rebirth of Israel, coupled with the removal of the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. It's a big deal. According to Benjamin Netanyahu, it's only a matter of time before others move their embassies to Jerusalem. In fact, he said, we are in touch with other countries, and it's only a matter of time before other countries join the U.S. in moving their embassies to Jerusalem. Back in December, Deputy Foreign Minister Tzipi Hotevli claimed that at least 10 other countries then were planning to move their embassies to Jerusalem. So the Arab world, the Muslim world, is aware of this. And from their perspective, they own Jerusalem. Through the Ottoman Empire, the Islamic world once had control of Jerusalem. And therefore, from the perspective of the Quran and Islamic thinking, they own it. They own it to this day. Therefore, for America or any other nation to place its embassy there is an act of aggression. Aggression against all Muslims. Now you can see how the world is being set up for a huge confrontation. So, Israeli National News, headline, Embassy Move, a Declaration of War. The Association of Muslim Scholars brought together clerics from around the world. It's considered an influential organization in the Sunni Muslim world. Its leader, Qaradawi, is considered the supreme religious authority of the Sunni Muslim world and the spiritual leader of both the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. Last July, Mr. Qaradawi called for an Islamic war over Jerusalem. Now, he's calling for it again, a declaration of war. In this context, we move then to the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. A key Palestinian religious leader is warning that there will be war if the United States follows through with its announced plan to open an embassy in Jerusalem, which Washington now formally recognizes as Israel's capital. The threat comes from Sheikh Mohammed Hussein, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. The official Palestinian Authority daily newspaper reported Hussein, described as a preacher at the Blessed Al-Aqsa Mosque, warned against the severity of the American administration's decision on transferring its embassy to occupied Jerusalem. He explained that the transfer of the American embassy to Jerusalem, if it's carried out, would not be an attack on the Palestinians alone, but rather a blatant attack on the Arabs and Muslims throughout the world, that it will not serve peace, but rather bring upon it disasters of wars, anarchy, and instability. Well, will that happen or not? Behind the embassy is something far greater. The embassy is only a symbol of a nation's power or authority. But how about the temple itself? How about the Temple Mount? How about the rebuilding of a third temple? The Jewish people have been anticipating such a thing for eons now. Is it time for a new temple? And what would happen if indeed such a temple were built? Well, the reality is that the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Notice, they don't flow unto the American embassy. They don't flow unto the nation's embassies. They flow unto the Temple Mount, which is, shall we say, God's embassy. That's his ultimate place of authority, the Temple Mount. He calls it his holy hill. And many people, said Isaiah, shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Well, guess what? The house of the God of Jacob is not there. Yet Isaiah wrote those words over 2,700 years ago. So, it should give us some perspective then as to what is likely to happen, in fact, what is going to happen from God's viewpoint. In fact, the book of Haggai, the prophet, says, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, saith the Lord, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. What house is that? The house of Israel, as symbolized by God's embassy there, the temple. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said Haggai, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, before we go further, I want to make available to you the book King of the Mountain. Many of you have the book and have read the book. Some of you have the book and have still not read the book. Shame on you, because it will help you to understand what is not only happening, but about to happen, and it will not take you unawares. You'll understand why it's going to happen, what is going to happen in broad terms, and how you and I should understand it. God does not want these things to take you as a professing Christian believer unawares. He wants you to be aware so that you will not be unduly troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have the choice whether your heart will be troubled or whether it will be afraid. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he said, I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know the day or the hour. But we are instructed to understand the general season. And most leaders are increasingly believing this is the season. For nearly 2,000 years, we've lived in what the Bible called the last days. They began on the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So the last days began almost 2,000 years ago. So what day are we in today? Well, there is the latter days of the last days. The Bible talks about the latter days of the last days, and then there is the very end of the age. So we have basically three different time frames, all referring in a broad sense to the same time, but in an ever-increasingly narrow sense to the final ushering in of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So are these the end times? Absolutely. Are these the latter days of the end times? I believe so. Is this the final culmination of the end times right now, of the latter days? Well, we don't know for sure, but we understand the season is moving in upon us. So I urge you to get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle, For He Who Rules the Temple Mount Rules the World. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23. 3255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling will get it in your hands. I don't think you're going to be disappointed, friends. This deals with the incredible picture of humanity for the past 6,000 years, ties it in with the movement of biblical prophecy, looks back then before the creation of man as to the battle between Lucifer and God who created him in the heavens. Lucifer became jealous, became prideful, arrogated himself against the God of history on the Mount of God in the heavens. God cast him out of the Mount of God. And so he's determined to rule the world from the Temple Mount. And that's why this movement is so important. The movement of the embassy is a precursor, I believe, to the final ushering in of the rebuilding of a third temple, which will precede then the coming of the Lord. This is a very big deal. The question of whether or not it's time for the temple has been recurring with increasing frequency and intensity over the past quarter century, as indicated in Time magazine, which we talked about earlier back in 1989. Then in 1993, there was a great controversy between the chief Sephardic rabbi and others who headed the Temple Institute concerning whether it's the responsibility of the Jews to build the third temple or whether the temple will be brought down from heaven when the Messiah comes. There is a belief by many that the temple must be rebuilt in order for the Messiah to come. But the battle is raging among Orthodox Jews whether a rebuilt temple will proceed or be brought about by the coming Messiah. But one thing is absolutely certain, that is, a rebuilt temple is increasingly anticipated, desired, and yes, even demanded in Israel. It's growing. It's amazing. Just amazing. So if this is the time for a third temple, the test could well be persistent and practical preparations. Well, guess what? They've been going on now since 1989. According to Time magazine, back in 1989, no group is more zealous than the Temple Institute in putting together, preparing for all of the things necessary for the rebuilding of the temple, including the cornerstone, including the preparation and rebuilding of the sacrificial altar, the worship vessels, the priestly garb, and then the revived Sanhedrin, which is the 71 elders of Israel reestablished back in, 2004, a unique ceremony, probably the only the second of its kind in the last 1,600 years, said Israel National News. That took place in Tiberias, where 71 rabbis from across the Jewish spectrum received special ordination to be part of the rebuilt or reconstituted Sanhedrin, or ruling body of Israel. Immediately, they called for the rebuilding of the temple. And then they sent out a peace initiative in 2007. They sent out a peace initiative translated into 70 languages as an intent to all government institutions of the world, including the sons of Esau and Ishmael. In the letter, the rabbis of the Sanhedrin warn that the world is nearing a catastrophe. They write that the only way to bring peace among nations, states, and religions is by building a house for God, where Jews will worship, pray, and offer up sacrifice according to the vision of the prophets. And then they call on non-Jews all over the world to help them, the only way to avoid bloodshed. Where are we heading? We'll talk about that next.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. We're talking today about the move of the embassy, America's embassy to Jerusalem, as a likely event presaging the ultimate embassy, God's embassy, shall we say, on the Temple Mount, the rebuilding of the Temple Mount, or the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount, which God calls over and over again in the scripture, my holy hill or my holy mountain. And because of that, we have presented to you the book, King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic End Time Battle. King of the Mountain. This is a $20 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to the website, order it there, or write to us. If you're writing, add $5 for postage and handling. We'll be delighted to put the book in your hands. You might want to put a copy in your pastor's hands. I think he would find it quite fascinating. Now, in addition to that, as you know, the only way that we're able to come on the air daily to chat with you, to talk about the things that matter most in our world, in our lives, is by your faithful gifts, donations, contributions, whatever you want to call them, your faithful gifts. Without those, we have no ability to stay on the air. God has no heavenly counterfeiting machine. We have no big corporate backing. The mere fact that we deal with the kinds of issues that we do on an ongoing basis prohibits us from getting any large donations from corporate or commercial enterprises. They're always afraid that somehow their business will be affected by our dealing with issues that others don't want to talk about. It's pretty simple. And so we're totally reliant upon God's people. God is relying on you. It's not just us that are relying on you. We're really relying on God, and God is relying on you. Because he only uses people, those who are called by his name, to be a kingdom conduit for his blessing and his glory and for the advancement of his word and preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. So I urge you to become a partner. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it. I guarantee you he's not doing it. And it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher because we're witnessing the falling away. The very falling away the Apostle Paul talked about, Jesus talked about, Peter talked about, the falling away is upon us. And it has financial impact on those who are trying, seriously trying, to prepare the way of the Lord. So, God's reliance is upon you to be his hand extended to accomplish his work in these times. I hope that you'll take that seriously, ask what he would have you to give, and either go to our website, saveus.org, or Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. All right, here we go. The Israel National News has recorded a warning from the U.S. mission to Israel. The U.S. mission to Israel has issued a warning to American citizens in the Jewish state after the Palestinian Authority called for a day of rage and demonstrations in protest of our president's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital and to move America's embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. All American citizens in Israel are warned about these protests, particularly in the West Bank. So, we know that that's going on. We know also that the Grand Mufti of the Palestinians of Jerusalem has said that the Jerusalem embassy will bring war. The State Department announced the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem will open May 14, 2018, for the 70th anniversary of Israel's Declaration of Independence in 1948. Now, remember, it was believed, in fact, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, had earlier said that he thought that this wouldn't happen for another 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And here it's going to happen. It's going to happen incrementally, but the first increment of it will be May 14th, 2018. That day is known to Palestinians as the Nakba, which is Arabic for the catastrophe. At the declaration in 1948, the combined forces, that is the declaration of Israel's independence in 1948, the combined forces of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, and Iraq joined in an attempt to eradicate the state of Israel. They failed. The report said that the Mufti, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, is encouraging Palestinians and Muslims to use violence and to seek martyrdom. Now, speaking of martyrdom, I want to share with you the nature, the horrific nature of what Islam is willing to go to in order to try to prevent the embassy, in order to try to prevent the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount. From the Jerusalem Post comes this headline: Erdogan, that is the president of Turkey, tells a six-year-old girl should be honored if martyred. She's ready for everything, isn't she? He said. In a rally of Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan's Justice and Development Party, the Turkish leader promised a six-year-old girl she'd be honored if she is martyred. This came out of the New York Times. The little girl was wearing a military-style outfit and a maroon beret on stage with Mr. Erdogan. Erdogan said, "We have our maroon berets here, but maroon berets never cry. She has a Turkish flag in her pocket, too. If she's martyred, they will lay a flag on her, God willing," he said to the cheering crowds. "She is ready for everything, isn't she?" he asserted, to which the little girl, sobbing, responded with an emphatic yes. They want to use even their little children, friends, to martyr themselves, so to speak, in the cause to destroy Israel, to destroy America, and to prevent the West or anyone else from having anything to do with Jerusalem or the Temple Mount. This is a big deal. An Arabic-language London-based newspaper reported that the leaders of Hamas in the Gaza Strip are calculating that the chances of war with Israel are 95%, that it could erupt within days. So we're looking at not just enemies out there. We're looking at Hamas, which is just below Israel, the Gaza Strip. The explosive nature of this is not lost on Benjamin Netanyahu or the Jewish people in Israel. But in addition to that, Iran is now launching a festival to celebrate Israel's imminent collapse. Time is running out, warns Tehran, the Tehran Festival. Senior Iranian official vows Iran will bring about Israel's collapse within 25 years. The Islamic Republic of Iran is gearing up for its first ever, what they call, International Hourglass Festival, celebrating what organizers call the imminent collapse of the Jewish state. The symbol chosen to represent the event features an hourglass with a Star of David disintegrating above the words 25 years, a reference to the predictions made by Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei in 2016 and reiterated by Major General Mousavi in 2017. Organizers announced at a press conference that the festival would be held in Tehran in April. Some 2,400 anti-Israel non-governmental organizations, NGOs, from around the world have agreed to promote the event globally. The festival not only targets Israel, but also the United States over its support of Israel. Imminent collapse. Now let's shift from that back to the issue of the temple, because I believe that the matter of the movement of the embassies to Jerusalem are presaging the rebuilding of the temple. Does the world need the temple? It couldn't have been stated more boldly nor more dramatically. The international edition of the Jerusalem Post, back in July of 2007, just 11 years ago, declared, "The world needs the temple." The article was very explicit in explaining from the Jewish perspective why the entire world needs the temple. The temple is cardinal to Israel's purpose as a holy nation and a kingdom of priest-teachers through whom all the families of the earth are to be blessed. I want to share with you when we get back some of the heart of that article, "The World Needs the Temple." This is Viewpoint. Stay tuned, my friend. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. We're talking today about the effect of the promised removal of America's embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the declarations of war that are coming from various aspects of the Islamic world, how far they're willing to do that in terms of being willing even to set up six-year-old girls for martyrdom. Now we revert back to the United States. We revert back to the United States with regard to our own attitudes toward Israel at this time. On February 27th, 2018, the Jerusalem Post had this headline: Anti-Semitic incidents in the United States sharply increased since 2016. There were 1,986 acts of anti-Semitism recorded and reported in the United States in 2017. The number of anti-Semitic incidents was nearly 60% higher in 2017 than in 2016. The largest single-year increase on record. Now, what's going on? Over 1,000 incidents of harassment, almost 1,000 incidents of vandalism, and 19 physical assaults. Every part of the country, the United States, was affected, with an incident reported in all 50 states for the first time in at least a decade. The number is the second highest reported since efforts started tracking this kind of data in the 1970s. The sharp rise in overall incidents was in part due to a significant increase in incidents in schools and college or university campuses, which nearly doubled for the second year in a row. Now, why do we bring this up? We're talking about the general environment in which these things are taking place. The reality is that in the United States of America, particularly among liberals, including believe it or not, African Americans, liberals, there is a growing anti-Semitism, an antipathy toward Israel, anything Jewish. The Bible said that that is exactly what was going to happen. The whole world will ultimately rise up against Israel and the Jewish people. And so, formally, through Donald Trump's courage to stand against the tide, to stand even against the tide of his own State Department, as Harry Truman did back in 1947-48. So Donald Trump is doing today, on behalf of the American people, to stand with God's order in the universe, God's plan, his prophetic plan, and it's not agreed to. Our nation is terribly divided. Even liberal Jews, Reform Jews, and liberal progressive Jews in this country don't support Israel. They don't like it when acts of anti-Semitism are performed against them, but they still don't support Israel. They do not have a biblical viewpoint. They have a crassly secular and ungodly viewpoint. So the world is in, you could say, it's not a friend to grace, and it's not a friend to God's plans. But the interesting thing is that God is going to perform his will whether or not the world is a friend to grace. And so the psalmist told us of this time back in Psalm 2. I would urge you to go back and read it. It starts like this: Why do the heathen or the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain and foolish thing? The kings of the earth have risen up against the Lord and against his anointed Israel, saying, let's tear their bands asunder. But God is going to have them in derision. George Frideric Handel, in his famous musical piece, Messiah, has an aria quoting that particular passage. The Lord will have them in derision. Then what? God's going to laugh at them, at their efforts to resist his will, to come against Israel, to come against the rebuilding of the temple, his embassy, God's embassy in the earth. And the Bible says this, yet I have set my king on my holy hill. Who is his king? Who is God's king? Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the only obedient Israelite that ever lived, the one who sacrificed his life that all of us might have the potential of eternal life if we would just receive him, be converted, and walk in his word, his will, and his ways, trusting him alone for our salvation. God the Father says, I have set my king on my holy hill. Now, when God says something like that, he means it, because for God, time is irrelevant. He's outside of time. When God said that then, it was as if it were done, even though it was said 3,000 years ago. I have set my king on my holy hill. What is his holy hill? His holy hill is the Temple Mount. He calls it my holy mountain. And so, from the Jerusalem Post back in 2007, the world needs the temple. The people of Israel were entrusted to teach the world that because God created every human being in his image, each must be free and inviolable, that our God of love and morality wants a world of peace and security for all. The place from which this message must emanate is Jerusalem, the city of peace, and the temple is to be the beacon from which this message goes forth, to usher in the time when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and humanity will not train for war anymore. Only a temple teaching absolute morality in the city of peace can secure the future of freedom in our global village. That's a direct quote from the Jerusalem Post, 2007. Regardless of what you think of what was said, the issue there is they believe the world needs the temple. Whether you agree with why they think the world needs the temple is not the point. The point is, they're convinced that the world needs the temple. When would such a temple be built? Does the world truly need the temple? Who will build the temple? Under what auspices? Will it be a purely Jewish endeavor? Will it be a religious partnership? Will the United Nations join the nations in partnership? Will the Vatican seek to gain oversight? Does the end justify the means? Will this be a house of prayer for all nations to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or will this just be a multi-faith project where all religious faiths purport to worship their respective gods as they please? But the real question yet remains, who will be king of the mountain? Who will rule and reign from Mount Zion? Whose glory will be displayed throughout the earth? Will it be that of the Mashiach ben David, that is the son of David, or will it be a shared glory of all faiths? Whether or not they embrace Yahweh as God or Yeshua as Messiah, will a deceptive counterfeit promising a false peace gain global dominion, and a Sanhedrin embrace as the long-awaited anointed one, promising a temple in time while desecrating the truth? Will Israel and her leaders recognize the time of her visitation and salvation from Father God, or be deceived once again by the father of lies to receive another who should come in his own name with a covenant of death? Multitudes are in the valley of decision. Who will be king of the mountain? All of this is taking place even as A press release just came forth on February 26th from Zion Oil from Israel, announcing that Zion Oil has successfully completed drilling to over 3 miles into the soil of Israel in the Jezreel Megiddo Valley. 16,600 feet, 5,060 meters. Will oil be found in Jerusalem at such a time as this? What would it mean? You see, the geopolitical world is on the cusp of total upheaval, even as the embassy is being removed, planned to be removed to Jerusalem. The calls for a rebuilt temple increase. But Jesus said that all of this is going to result in the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet, Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, the temple. When it's built, it's going to be built. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. When the temple of God's presence is desolate, troubles on the way. The greater the spiritual desolation, whether in the physical temple or in a nation or in an individual, the greater the anticipated destruction in the epic battle for King of the Mountain. So if we went back to the great prophet Malachi, he made perfectly clear that the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. He's going to be like a refiner's fire to purge and to purify, but who may abide or endure the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? There is going to be another temple. With it is going to come the promise of peace, but ultimately the terrifying power of the sword. It will be the time, what is called Jacob's trouble. It will strike terror among the nations. For Jesus so poignantly declared, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. The eternal, epic, and end-time battle for King of the Mountain lies straight ahead. Straight ahead. So, the question then is, what are the implications for you and for me? Does any of this really matter for you and me? Well, the answer is yes. First of all, to understand biblical prophecy is to put a frame around time and eternity and to put our lives in proper perspective. To understand these things is to say to myself, am I ready? Am I ready to endure to the end? When trouble comes, am I prepared? Have I prepared my children, my grandchildren, my flock as a pastor? Have I really prepared, or have I been pretending? Are you ready? Are you sure? Are you walking in holiness and righteousness? Or have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as a threshold? That's the issue, isn't it? Because ultimately your heart is God's temple mount. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book. King of the Mountain is on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. God bless you.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.